One minute after the rapture, everything will change.
What will it be like for millions of people on the earth 1 minute after the rapture? Well, first of all, there will be a global confusion. The sudden disappearance of millions of people will certainly create a worldwide sense of bewilderment.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, radio for the remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Jan spends the hour today with Dr. J.B. Hixon on an intriguing topic. What will life be like on Earth 1 minute after the rapture of all believers to heaven? And why are we talking about it? What if it were today? Here is today's programming.
Welcome to the program. Say, I'm going to go to my recent interview of J.B. Hixon in just a moment. But I wanted to open the program making a few comments about the near disaster of July 13th and the almost assassination of a former president, and it was honestly inevitable, and in my opinion, it may be tried again thanks to the out-of-control left in America. They have demonized Christians and conservatives. They are driving this out-of-control spirit of the Antichrist that has been unleashed in America and the world. What does one expect when conservatives and Christians are portrayed as deplorables, when Trump himself is repeatedly compared to Hitler, when endless rhetoric portrays Christians to the fascists of the 1930s, and when pro-lifers and patriots are mocked and vilified as, quite frankly, dangerous? When the liberal media suggests that such people will be the end of democracy, I'm looking at the magazine titled The New Republic, and they write, "We at The New Republic think that we can spend this election year in one of two ways. One, we can spend it debating whether Donald Trump meets the 9 of 17 points that define fascism, or we can spend it saying he's very close and we'd better fight back." The cover of this magazine in front of me portrays Donald Trump as Hitler-esque, and the artwork makes him look, frankly, like a monster. Let's remember that fascism drove a sophisticated society in Europe to throw away common sense and embrace totalitarianism. It led, quite frankly, to the near extermination and extinction of a people group, and if it had not been stopped, it would have taken over the world. And that is not the mentality of Christians and conservatives, and rhetoric has consequences. The leftist mantra is loud, and it's coming from a subset that is out of control because it longs for total control. Now, I'm going to delve much more deeply into this next week with my guest, Michelle Bachman, and we'll talk frankly and bluntly about what is going on in the Western world and what we might expect in the balance of this election year. But in the meantime, I want to air my previously recorded interview of J.B. Hixon on the topic of 1 minute after the rapture.
So aren't you glad the rapture rescues us from this ever-worsening world? It doesn't rescue us before things get bad. Things are already bad. And for many believers throughout church history, they've paid the ultimate price. In fact, there's more martyrs today for the cause of Christ than at any other time in church history. So the rapture isn't rescuing us before things get bad, but it is rescuing us from this ever-worsening world and ultimately from the outpouring of God's wrath. Number three, a physical renewal. A physical renewal. At the rapture, we will all be changed, right? Hallelujah. This mortal will put on immortality. This corruption will put on incorruption. We will all be changed. Paul says, we groan inwardly, desiring for our habitation, which is from heaven. We want the redemption of our body. And if you don't think your bodies need redemption, and if you don't think your bodies are deteriorating, just do this simple exercise when you get home. Go find your wedding picture, look at it in one hand, and pull out your driver's license photo in the other. I think it'll be self-evident. We need redemption of our body.
Glad you can join me for the programming today. And it's been a while since I've spent at least a good portion of the hour on a familiar topic, and one that could transpire any day, any minute for that matter. And it's not a theology shared by everyone. And that would be the theology of the rapture of believers referenced in John 14, 1 Corinthians 15, and certainly 1 Thessalonians 4. in the twinkling of an eye, all of a sudden, millions of people are going to disappear off the face of the earth all at the same time. They vanish immediately from wherever they are, whatever they're doing. These people that have vanished are believers who had trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he has taken them up into the clouds to be with him in heaven. This will cause immediate chaos and travail all over the globe. Loved ones and friends disappear in front of the ones that didn't believe in the rapture. I believe babies and children under an age of accountability are going to be gone in an instant. Obviously, everyone's going to wonder what happened because there's going to be confusion, distress, anarchy, wars, madness in many forms, be a breakdown of society. Probably looting and lawlessness and criminal chaos will be the state of affairs everywhere. Stores, businesses, homes. A lot of people will be in, I think, mindless shock, not knowing what to do or where to go. Many will blame it on, as we've talked about in this programming, aliens or maybe the collider over at CERN in Switzerland. So there's going to be someone who will rise up and have to have answers for all of this. This person is called the Antichrist, and he's mentioned very often in the Bible. We talk about that. And he'll sign a false peace covenant with Israel. And at that point, what is known as the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th week, will launch. Now, that is not necessarily in conjunction with the rapture. It could be days, weeks, months, could even be years later, but probably not because of the chaos the world's going to be in. I think it'll be a matter of days or maybe a week or two, but we don't know. Now, I did see this headline a couple days ago in publication online, World Israel News. I'm going to read it to you as I saw it. New world leader pushes Israel for Gaza ceasefire and Palestinian state. I'm going to read that again. This was the headline. New world leader pushes Israel for Gaza ceasefire and Palestinian state. I believe that almost leaps out of Daniel 9. So what's going on here? I'm not reading a Left Behind novel. I'm reading a real headline, and it happened to be in, as I said, World Israel News. And the new leader of Great Britain was stating that Israel had to, as the headline said, have a ceasefire and institute a Palestinian state. These kinds of headlines leap out at us, and I don't think this is newspaper eschatology. I just think this is paying attention to what's going on in the world and tying it to some current events. And we're going to talk about that for the hour because I happened to catch the conference online, the one held in Colorado, Prophecy Watchers. This is a few weeks ago now. And I happened to catch one of the messages given by Dr. J.B. Hickson 1 minute after the rapture. I just want to say parenthetically, this is a little bit of a part two to last week's program with Pastor Billy Crone, where we spent an extensive amount of time on the New World Order. We won't spend the hour on that, but we're going to spend a few minutes talking about that. So it's kind of a part two from last week. Dr. J.B. Hickson pastors Plum Creek Chapel in Sedalia, Colorado. We carry two of his books. I have read both books, Spirit of the Antichrist, The Gathering Cloud of Deception, Volume 1 and 2. We'll say more about that perhaps as we get into the programming, including some other products we have that would be helpful in this category. Dr. J.B. Hickson, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Jan. Thanks for having me.
Your reaction to this headline I saw, New World Leader Pushes Israel for Gaza Ceasefire and Palestinian State.
It definitely catches your attention if you know the Bible, doesn't it? We know scripturally that a world leader is going to rise to the fore, probably is already in power in some form or fashion today as we look at the signs of the times. We don't know that for sure, but it's certainly possible. And then after the rapture, he's going to gain prominence as sort of a world hero who solves the crisis and encourages world peace. And so those kind of headlines definitely jump out at you, don't they?
And I'm not sure what we're supposed to do with these kinds of stories that leap out of the Bible, but cite them obviously with caution. We're not trying to be sensational here. I don't think either you or I care about that. But the fact that so many things are happening that are a precursor to the ultimate that's going to happen during that 7-year period.
You're right. I've tried very hard to not be one of those Bible commentators who sits there with a newspaper in one hand and a calculator in the other, because we just don't know. But at the same time, Jesus said to the first century Jewish leaders, What I say to you, I say to all, watch. So we are supposed to be keeping our eye heavenward and recognizing that one day, in the blink of an eye, Christ is going to come back and we need to be ready and be found faithful.
So you gave this message in Colorado Springs a couple weeks ago now, again, 1 minute after the rapture. Why? And let me follow up that why with this, because most of my audience, 90%, 95% probably, are going to be leaving with us in that rapture of believers. So why are you coming up with a topic? And it's so intriguing, by the way, that I was obviously tempted and followed through with presenting it on air today.
Of course, my background is academics. I spent 12 years in full-time academics and did a number of years of adjuncting after that. We've had Not By Works ministry since 1999. But sometimes for those of us who study eschatology and study dispensational theology, it can become just that, an academic pursuit. And we have the right answers. We connect the dots theologically, but we forget that we're talking about a very real, tangible, impactful event. And so as I put this message together, I was trying to place myself in the moment of what will it be like, first for those who are left behind, but then also for those of us that are caught up right after the rapture. So 1 minute after the rapture is kind of a catchy title, but my point was, look, this is a real event, and let's think through the ramifications of it. And when I started coming at it from that angle, it really affected me. It really reminded me of the urgency of the hour and what we need to do to share Christ with others.
I think that's the point, and probably the point of this hour, is let's be sharing the gospel while there is time, because a cataclysmic event is on the horizon. I think we forget about that sometimes. I've been anticipating it for a few decades, but this is an awesome thing that's going to happen. It's going to shake the world. And by the way, J.B. Hickson, 1 minute after the rapture, some of our churches will still be full.
Oh, absolutely. And I've had the opportunity to travel for many, many years now, a couple decades or more. And I've been in some of those churches. And of course, we'll go anywhere the Lord opens the door and we proclaim the clear, accurate, and urgent gospel message. But I come away sometimes thinking, boy, these folks, they don't really know the Lord. And they're not hearing a clear gospel from the pulpit. They've been convinced that somehow they're going to go to heaven because of their behavior, their performance, their heritage, their religion, their baptism, anything and everything right. But simple faith alone in Christ alone, which is the only way anyone can be justified before a holy God. And so, yeah, I think sadly you're right. And then those churches that do still have people in them 1 minute after the rapture, they're going to be part of the deception. They're going to fall right in line and aid and abet the powers that be, the Antichrist and his companions, in getting people to come under his sway.
All the more reason for those people to get out of those churches. Better to stay at home and do something online than to stay in those kinds of churches. But after the rapture, nothing will ever be the same again. The world will be forever changed in that moment. And there are many words we could use to describe what's going to happen all over the world. But again, I used some of that in my introduction. And the more Christian a nation, the greater the response. Some countries, particularly Islamic nations, may notice very little difference other than what they're going to be getting on the news broadcasts. America, Western Europe, Canada, some of these westernized nations, certainly featuring Christianity on a daily basis, I think they're going to be simply devastated. Let's go through a few things that are going to happen. Now, in some cases, this is literally 1 minute after the rapture. In other cases, a few bullet points I came up with. They're going to begin 1 minute after the rapture. They're going to be continued for days, weeks, and months. But I think the first thing, and you highlighted this, Dr. Hickson, that is global confusion, because everybody left behind, they're going to be asking, what happened? What do we do now? I think cell phones are going to explode, as will the internet. News flashes trying to explain it. What do you see?
It's absolute global confusion. The Bible says God is not the author of confusion, and that only leaves one other option. That's Satan. And so he very much is the author of confusion. And it's going to be in the midst of that confusion that he begins to set in motion his plan to institute the beast system and ultimately a one world political, religious, and economic system. But yeah, if you just think for a moment what it will be like in that instant, you talked about America being impacted. Let's just get more specific. You've got Christians that are in key positions, mission critical positions, piloting planes, sitting at the controls of machinery, ships at sea, driving cars. And if they disappear instantly, those machines are going to crash. They're going to cause untold devastation and death. And it's going to be utter chaos and panic. And then add to that the fact that some people who are left behind will have loved ones that were believers and are taken. And so they're going to be dealing with the panic of, where did my child go? I completely agree with you, as you have said in the open, that young children who are not intellectually capable of understanding sin and the need for a Savior, they're going to be taken. I believe that's testimony of Scripture, and that's consistent with God's grace. Same thing with mentally disabled people who aren't capable of exercising faith. And so, yeah, it's just going to be utter chaos globally, and it's hard to imagine what that's going to be like.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock weighs in on this very topic.
Think about this someday when the rapture of the church takes place. Think about all this debt, and suddenly you have 20, 30 million people, however many believers there are in America, suddenly taken out of this country. When you talk about a drop on the Dow Jones the next day, you talk about a financial and a housing crisis and a crash and a total destruction of the Dow Jones and the stock market. So think about our country and how quickly, just because of all this debt that's mounting, our country could be reduced. Another thing, and again, I don't enjoy talking about this at all. I pray for our country every day. I pray for politicians I don't like. In fact, I may pray for the politicians I don't like more than the ones I do like. And my sense is they need it even more. This isn't enjoyable to talk about, but God is lining things up for the future that He has planned for this world. And it would seem that America is not a major part of that. Another thing is the terror threat. CNN this last week, several U.S. military bases in Europe are on heightened alert amid possible terrorist threat. CBS News, U.S. military heightened security alert level at European bases in response to threats. The Heritage Foundation, America's alarmingly high terror threat just keeps climbing the more we fling open our doors. Talking about at the southern border. The CIA Deputy Director Mike Morrell says the terror threat posed by vulnerabilities at the U.S.-Mexico border is blinking red. And the alarm bells are going off all over the place. It's an all-time high. Over 1,500 people from Tajikistan illegally crossed our border between October 2020 and May 2024. 500 have been caught this year alone. Recently, 8 Tajiks were caught who had known ties to ISIS. So think about, what about those with unknown ties? And most of them have been released. Terror cells in the U.S. can wreak havoc. And the psychological effect on our country would be devastating, and it would help further crater the U.S. economy.
You are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell, I have on the line from Colorado Dr. J.B. Hixon, Plum Creek Chapel in Sedalia, Colorado. We carry in my store two of his books, Spirit of the Antichrist, Gathering Clouds of Deception, Volume 1 and 2, olivetreeviews.org, and go to our online store. J.B. Hixon, you want to comment on Mark Hitchcock's words there?
He's spot on everything he said, but one of the things that I've pointed out is I've written and talked a lot about the Luciferian elite and Satan's co-conspirators that we read about in Psalm 2 that are really pulling the strings and trying to be his boots on the ground here to orchestrate this one world system. But what people don't talk about sometimes is the organic things that could happen when some rogue leader who goes off script and gets mad at another rogue leader and does something crazy. And I think in the aftermath of the rapture, when this chaos, there's going to be some evil, wicked people who may or may not be directly involved in the grand conspiracy to take over the world, but yet seize the opportunity, or what they perceive as an opportunity, to advance their evil. There's just so many variables here that people don't want to be left behind. Again, that was really my thinking here behind putting this presentation together, was let's get back to the reality of it and take it out of the classroom and into a picture of what it's going to be like. So again, I implore folks, I know most of your listeners obviously are believers, but these kinds of things online get forwarded around and people listen to them. If you're listening to this and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, today's the day. Make sure you place your faith in Him and Him alone.
J.B. Hixon, you have a prayer wall on your website, which is notbyworks.org, and we have one on our website as well, olivetreeviews.org. We've had one for several months, extremely well-trafficked, and why don't you give us 30 seconds on yours, because again, people need a place. They're hurting big time, and they're asking for prayer.
The more I look at what's going on around us, the more I feel like time is short. Absolutely. The signs are stacking up. And so prayer is our number one weapon in spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6 makes that clear. And so my daughter, Brooke, who works full time for our ministry, she put this together and it is phenomenal. You can get to it through the NBW Ministries app or the notbyworks.org website. Just click on the resources tab and Once you click on the prayer wall, you can just type out your prayer request like you're writing it on a post-it note. It attaches to the wall, and then other people within the MBW Ministries community that come to the site can pray for you and encourage you and harness the power of prayer for sure.
Exact same thing at olivetreeviews.org. It's there for you, trying to meet a need in a time of some desperation anyway. JB, I want to move on here to other things that are going to happen, say a minute after the rapture, in some cases a day, a week, or a month, but most of these within minutes, even seconds, and that is going to be coming forth a false explanation. In other words, I think society is being prepped for this by probably Hollywood, the various movies that are out, Independence Day, so many, I've seen some of them. Some are going to say that experiments have been going on at CERN over in Switzerland. All sorts of theories are going to be floating around. In some cases, an explanation is going to depend on if these people have been involved, obviously, in a church. They're going to have heard various theologies. Some are going to say, well, that left behind business was all nonsense. Maybe we should have given it a little more thought. That might be coming from some pulpits. Give me your thoughts further on this, please.
I think a false explanation and an unprecedented deception are going to go hand in glove. Mm-hmm. It'll start with the explanation. Obviously, the world leaders will have to have some explanation to tell people what happened and why it happened. I believe they're already primed for this. We've done some research in my books and on our podcast on Project Bluebeam, which is a real project that emanates from NASA and other government agencies where they're putting together the technology and the explanations to be able to what they think is explain an alien invasion. Of course, coming from a biblical worldview, we don't believe in little green men from other planets, but we do believe in the demonic realm and think that's a part of it. And so they're going to have this explanation that is going to be anything but God. Everything they blame God and draw people to the new God, yeah, which is Satan and ultimately indwelling the Antichrist once he signs that peace treaty during the tribulation. So Satan's the great deceiver. Revelation makes it clear he's wanting to deceive the whole world. And that begins by calming people down with what they perceive as a plausible explanation of what just happened after the rapture.
Quite frankly, some people are going to have had exposure to your ministry and to mine. They're going to know a form of the truth. It probably won't hit them until this happens. And then I think there's going to be the other sentiment is we're so glad some of these people are gone.
Certainly the ones that have quenched the spirit and have kind of hardened their hearts to the convicting work of the spirit in their lives are going to take that approach. But I think what we're also going to see, one of the things I talked about in the presentation was a worldwide conversion. I think very quickly after the rapture, there are going to be a number of people who recognize that the gospel they heard prior to the rapture from you, from me, from friends, from their pastors is true and real, and they need to believe it. And so there will be a great harvest of souls. Revelation 7 makes that clear. Many of those will ultimately be beheaded and martyred down the road in the tribulation period. But while there's going to be a great deception 1 minute after the rapture, I think there's also going to be a great number of people turning to Christ.
Well, let's just spend an extra minute on that. Folks, you are listening to Understanding the Times. Jan Markell, Dr. J.B. Hixon on the line from Colorado. I think we need to clarify that there's going to be 144,000 Jewish evangelists winning many. They won't be able to count the number that are going to be getting saved during this tribulation time. I noticed that that's not necessarily 144,000 Baptists or Lutherans. The Bible is clear. This is a very Jewish experience that's going on.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons, and there are so many, certainly I don't have to tell your audience that the tribulation is in fact Jewish in nature. It's the culmination of the Daniel 70 weeks prophecy. It's time of Jacob's trouble, the overflowing scourge. It's very Jewish in nature. That's why you have everything centering on Israel and Jerusalem and the rebuilt tribulation temple. But yeah, these witnesses will be the beginning evangelists because, of course, in the instant following the rapture, there are going to be no believers left on earth for that moment. So God supernaturally seals these 144,000, 12,000 from 12 tribes of Israel. We don't know how they hear the gospel, but we know the testimony of Scripture is that everybody comes to faith the same way. They're not given any special treatment. They have to believe the gospel. But somehow they believe the gospel, and then they're sealed for protection, and they start this massive evangelistic revival that will be global. In fact, Jesus said, remember in Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse, that the gospel will be preached to the uttermost parts of the earth, and then the end will come, talking about his return triumphantly to establish the kingdom. So we're going to see untold millions from every nation, tribe, tongue, and language that come to faith. And of course, then ultimately at the very end, I believe from Revelation 14, you've got this angel who bats cleanup, so to speak, and goes out and cleans the bases of anybody in the far corners of the earth who haven't heard from this missionary entourage. And so that angel goes out and preaches the gospel so that by the time Christ returns at the Battle of Armageddon, everybody on earth will have heard the gospel.
Moving on, there's going to be, right after the rapture, unprecedented deception. And I think people are going to fall for every lie imaginable. J.B. Hickson, I think that outfits like the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, even the World Health Organization are going to run to the forefront and offer absolute solutions. They're going to say it's all in the One World Agenda. We'll try to get into that a little bit more in part two of my programming. I think the media is going to get on board instantly, within literally seconds to minutes, and mislead the entire world with their paganism. Give us a few more thoughts on this unprecedented time of deception.
This has been one of Satan's key tools throughout human history. It's what Friedrich Hegel came up with and called the Hegelian dialectic. He kind of gave it a name and crystallized it in the minds of evil doers. But it's essentially the problem-reaction-solution, that you've got to create a problem so that there will be an anticipated reaction that will lead people to do exactly what you wanted them to do all along. So it's what we see emanating from the WEF, this idea of build back better, order out of chaos. So they tear down so they can build it back the way they want it. And this has been something that evil world leaders have done for centuries. And it's very common practice. And this will be the greatest crisis in the culmination of the ages here after the rapture for them to try to stack the deck and get things ready for the rise of the Antichrist. So they will begin that deception. Need to remember that 2 Timothy 3:13 tells us that deception is going to get worse and worse and worse, which is really, to me, all you need to know about the NAR folks who suggest that somehow we're going to make this world better and better and better, and when we get it cleaned up enough, then Christ will come back. That's not at all the testimony of Scripture. It's just the opposite. It won't get cleaned up until the King of Kings and Lord of Lords himself comes back, and we as believers in the church age will be riding with him on those white horses.
So glad you brought up that thought. I couldn't possibly agree with you more. Folks, I have spent a lot of years promoting a lot of books on Understanding the Times Radio. And quite frankly, I am honored to do so, because if we do feature them, you can be sure that they're very stable. But now I've got one coming out in the fall, and I'm going to ask you to pre-order it if you would think about that. It's published by Harvest House. And when a book is published by, like, Harvest House, you do all the pre-ordering on Amazon. The title is When Jesus Returns, Living in the Expectation of the End Times. It's a compilation of some of the best messages given at my Understanding the Times conferences over about 24 years. Contributors include Amir Sarfati, Jack Hibbs, Mark Hitchcock, Ed Heinsohn, Jeff Kinley, Erwin Lutzer, yours truly, Michelle Bachman. When Jesus Returns, Living in the Expectation of the End Times. It will be available this fall, and if you pre-order it again on Amazon, just type in my name and the title of the book. We'd really, really appreciate it. I'm going to head into part two of my programming now, and I want to continue through probably another four, five, six other things that are going to happen. A minute to, I would say, a few days or a week after the rapture, for sure, going to happen very quickly. After God removes believers from this world in what's known as the rapture of the church. So we're going to talk about some more of these that I hope most of you folks are going to miss, but we hope that this will spur you on to have a real burden to share the gospel while there is time, because quite frankly, time is running out. We're going to play a short clip of Dr. Mark Hitchcock now. We are heading into the home stretch of the church age, as Mark suggests. Something dramatic has to happen to America, the leader of the free world. Maybe we're watching that in process. Here's Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
Think about all these things that are happening, and think about how these things could converge in a fatal combination. Can we see the lawlessness in our country today? We see all the political turmoil in our country. We see the debt implosion that's definitely coming at some point in time. We see the terror threat. We see this nuclear threat. Again, all these things could combine in a fatal combination. And you add the rapture of the church in there with all of these things that are happening today. We see how America could become a second, third-rate nation overnight. Now, we need to remember when I say all of this that God is in control of the nations. God controls our lives, and God controls the nations. God sits above the vault of the earth. He sits on his throne in heaven, and he controls what's happening. So God is in control of our nation, but God is preparing this world for the home stretch of this church age that will ultimately lead into the tribulation period. So we have to see what's happening in our nation today as part of God's plan. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't do all we can for our nation. We're told to pray, and we need to be praying for our country. I pray for our nation every day. We need to continue as a nation to support Israel. The statements back in Genesis 12 are still in effect. Those who bless Israel, God will bless. The one who curses Israel, God will curse. So as we support Israel, it will keep God's hand of blessing upon our nation in spite of all of our other problems. You need to support your local church, a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church. The church is the glue that holds our country together. Remember when Alexis de Tocqueville came here long ago to our country? He went back and he said that the greatness and the genius of America was pulpits aflame with righteousness.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Have on the line J.B. Hixon, pastor of Plum Creek Chapel, Sedalia, Colorado. Learn more at notbyworks.org. Learn more about his app there as well. And we have been talking about a message I heard him give. I heard it online. I was not in attendance at a prophecy conference in Colorado Springs. This is a few weeks ago now, 1 minute after the rapture. And I was very intrigued by the whole concept. As a matter of fact, we carry in my online store a couple of products designed for that as well. After the Rapture, Left Behind, it's a DVD, excellent little one-hour presentation by Prophecy Update, and a book we carry, Missed the Rapture? And that's extensive discussion on what we're talking about today. And so I wanted to bring Dr. Hixon on air to get into a little bit more of an in-depth discussion about this life right after the Rapture. 1 minute to, I would say, a week, even a month or so after the Rapture, but he was looking at instantly after, my goodness, the world is going to be left in absolute shock. Some are going to figure it out, many will not. And I think, J.B. Hixon, another very, very intense feeling is going to be regret, because some are going to say to themselves and to others, why didn't I listen to so-and-so, whoever, loved one, family member, good friend? And it's going to be complete bewilderment going on. Some of them may have heard a television, a radio, or internet program. They might have heard you at some point in time, Dr. Hixon. They're going to be so regretful that they didn't take various words more seriously.
Absolutely. Jesus said, if he's lifted up, he will draw all men to him. The Spirit of God is convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, but people have to volitionally receive it. God doesn't force salvation upon anyone. It's a free will choice. And so many people have resisted the Spirit. Satan is blinding the minds of men and women to the gospel. So there are those who have heard the gospel many times, but they've stiffened their necks. They've rejected it. They've not chosen to accept by faith the free gift of forgiveness and eternal life. And then 1 minute after the rapture, I think they will recognize and have this incredible remorse and regret. And many of them will, in that moment, place their faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died and rose again for their sins. They'll be born again. But many will not. And what I like to remind people of is, if your perspective, and I'm speaking now to skeptics or unbelievers, is that, well, I'm not really sure about all this Jesus stuff and rapture stuff, but if I see millions of people disappear, well, then I'll know it's real, and then I'll trust in Christ at that point. If that's your perspective, I would encourage you to think again, because deception's going to be exponentially greater after the rapture than it is today. And so today's the day of salvation. Don't put it off. But yeah, there will be those who get it, who've heard the gospel very clearly. They understand it. They've just never believed it. And when this happens, they will have this awareness, this regret of, oh my, I should have listened.
There's going to be a transition time, and that's going to start a minute after the rapture. It could go on extended amount of time. There's going to be discussion about a coming new economy, about a, quite frankly, a new currency. There could be discussion about a new leader. J.B. Hixon, you get into this, but they're going to hear talk about a new world order. And folks, that's why I wanted to signal that we talked about the new world order last week with Pastor Billy Crone, and this is a little bit tagging on to that, part two in a sense. J.B. Hixon, this whole new world order idea is really going to come into prominence quickly.
Yeah, we believe that God is working out his plan of the ages in different economies, different stewardships. The biblical term is dispensations, but that is a word that scares a lot of people. It shouldn't. It comes straight from Scripture. But the Bible calls the present age the last days multiple times. For example, in Hebrews, it talks about how in these last days, God has sent his Son. So We're living in the last days, and the reason it's called the last days is because the only real age to come is the kingdom age, the triumphant, victorious kingdom of perfect peace, righteousness, and justice when Christ comes back and takes the throne. But the rapture puts an end to the present age, and then there's this transition time, which is the completion of Daniel's 490-year plan, that seven final years that is variously called the tribulation or the time of Jacob's trouble, as we said. And that's really going to be the transition that leads us up to ultimately the final climactic battle in this cosmic struggle that'll take place in the hills of Megiddo outside Jerusalem there. And that's when Christ comes back and the Antichrist and false prophet are cast into the lake of fire and Satan is cast into prison and Christ takes the throne. And so it absolutely is a transition time. And they've been telegraphing this for decades now. And I've written about it extensively in the two books that you guys carry, Spirit of the Antichrist, Volumes 1 and 2. The One World System, I cite dozens and dozens of world leaders throughout history that have spoken specifically about the One World System, especially coming out of World War II. And so this will be their moment. This will be their moment to finally cross the finish line and hand the One World System over to Satan's man of the hour, the Antichrist.
I'm going to play a short clip of you reviewing what you've said here.
Rockefeller said he was being accused of being part of a cabal that was ushering in a one-world government. He said, I'm guilty as charged, right? And I'm proud of it. He said, we're on the verge of a global transformation. We just need the right major crisis, and then everyone will accept the new world order. He also said, quote, the world is now prepared to march towards a world government. And listen to this. The supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers. Well, that's surely preferable, he goes on to say, to the national autodetermination that was practiced in the old days. Then there's Henry Kissinger, who died recently. After Obama was elected, I think Alex showed this video clip as well. He said, I think Obama's task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period when really a new world order can be created. See, Obama was the first truly Manchurian candidate in American politics, literally birthed with an intention of making him the president. And they thought that the New World Order, once they selected him and put him in place, was going to be a cakewalk. Well, it didn't quite turn out that way. God had other plans. It wasn't the right time. And there was some infighting between the old guard elite and the new guard elite. But anyway, Kissinger thought, well, this is it. I'm going to finally see it, right? Go back to World War II, and Churchill said the creation of an authoritative world order is the aim that we must strive for. Same time period, Charles de Gaulle said nations must unite in a world government or perish. Same time period, James Paul Warburg from the famous Warburg bankster family. I'm going to be talking tomorrow about the privately owned Federal Reserve, and his father Warburg was one of the ones that helped launch that. But James Paul said, we shall have world government whether you like it or not, by conquest or consent. And then here's the Bush quote that we saw earlier. This is from his 91 State of the Union address. The world can therefore seize the opportunity to fulfill the long-held promise of a new world order. And Nixon, talking to the president of China, as we saw, each of us has the hope to build a new world order. Or Gorbachev, we are moving toward a new world order and we shall never turn off that road. Or H.G. Wells, in the book entitled The New World Order, he said, countless people will hate the New World Order and will die protesting it. The Luciferian elite are convinced that we are getting closer and closer to the finish line of this New World Order. When Biden was vice president, he said, the affirmative task before us is to create a New World Order. And then since becoming president, he's at least twice mentioned, this was in 2022, during a 15-minute speech at the lobbying organization, quote, the Business Roundtable, he said, now is the time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it. He also said, in setting an American agenda for a new world order, we must begin with a profound alteration in traditional thought, a geopolitical reorganization.
J.B. Hickson, there's no question about it. There's a new form of government. I believe it's on the horizon. We know who's going to be ruling it. We don't know his name, but we know his title. I just think it's closer than anybody can imagine. That's why you came up with this message, and that's why I wanted to get into it this hour.
Yeah, I love the resources that you have available in your store for those who are left behind. We have a similar placard. We call it the Rapture Placard, and it's a neat story. My grandfather, who was a preacher, every time I would visit him as a child, on his front door, right near the doorbell, was this tattered and torn little placard that began, "To whom it may concern," and then it went on to explain, look, if millions of people disappear, this home's going to be found empty. When it does, this is what happened, and then it goes on to share the gospel. So we took that. I still have the original. We've kind of recast it a little bit, and we have that available at the Not By Works website. But it's very important for people today to seize the moment, the urgency of the hour. First of all, make sure they're right with God by faith alone and Christ alone, but then do what God has us here to do. The purpose of the church is to, as Paul said, be a light in this perverse generation and to fulfill the Great Commission and to bring people to faith. I think sometimes we lose sight of that with all of the distractions and cares of this world.
You're listening to Understanding the Times. Jan Markell here, J.B. Hickson on the line from Colorado. We are reviewing what's going to happen a minute after the rapture and going forth, weeks and months and even years after that, but we're kind of focusing on almost instantly. Everything will change. The entire globe will change in a flash, in a heartbeat. And another item, Dr. Hickson, is that there's going to be a withdrawn protection, as you put it. The work of the Holy Spirit, well, I think he's going to take a little bit different role. Can you help us understand this?
This has puzzled believers for some time. It really shouldn't, but it's based on 2 Thessalonians 2:7, where we read that the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And often you'll hear people say that the Holy Spirit's going to be removed from the earth after the rapture. Well, that's not possible theologically, because if you know your theology proper, your doctrine of God, God eternally exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And one of the immutable attributes of God is his omnipresence. And so he absolutely, the Holy Spirit cannot cease to be somewhere. But what Paul was talking about there is the profound and restraining influence that the church is having on the world today. And so I asked people as I talked about this to think about how much of an impact the church and the convicting work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers is having today. We may never know. It might be that bold statement in a private board meeting by some brother or sister in Christ based on their moral fabric and compass dissuades a board from doing something wrong. Or it could be private counsel to a world leader from a Christian. You know, in America here, many presidents have had in the Oval Office key evangelical leaders. And so we may never know how God has used the church to restrain evil. But after the rapture, that restraint is gone. The Holy Spirit will still be here. He's omnipresent, and he'll still be drawing people to faith and so forth. But the influence, the restraining, as Paul puts it in 2 Thessalonians 2 there, of the Holy Spirit in and through the church will be removed.
Passages that are significant, John 14, 1 through 3, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 58, and 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 18. Look those up if, in fact, you are wondering, what on earth are we talking about, and is it biblical? A couple of other bullet points, Dr. Hickson. Order is going to come out of chaos. Now, I think there's going to be chaos within minutes, seconds, perhaps after the rapture, there will be chaos. But very shortly after that, order is going to come out of chaos because somebody's going to come forth, I think very, very quickly. A statesman is going to come on the scene. He's going to suggest, I have a plan. I will restore things. I will heal things. He's going to make overtures, not to Sweden, not to Finland. He's going to make overtures only to Israel. He's going to suggest that he can avert a nuclear war that they are going to suggest is on the horizon. What else?
The metaphor here that I like to use is that of what's called the flashbang. If you're familiar with SWAT team techniques, when they're going into, say, a drug house or going into arrest a gang of people in a building, what they'll do first is throw in this little smoke bomb, and it makes a loud noise and fills the room with smoke. And in that moment, it disorients all the criminals in the room. And so the SWAT team can go in and more easily disable them and get them under control. I think Satan's going to use the chaos and confusion, like we talked about earlier, that ensues globally after the rapture to take advantage of people's fear. Fear is one of Satan's greatest weapons and tactics. And people, when they're disoriented and fearful, they're looking for answers. They're looking for someone who can explain things and can help them and can rescue them and calm them down. And in that chaos, that's when this future man that will reveal himself as the Antichrist, but at that point, he'll just be a kind of a world leader, a statesman, as you said. He's going to provide a calming influence and give some answers, and people will look to him, and he will gain traction, he will gain popularity, and it's out of that that he will emerge and sign this treaty that Daniel 9:27 talks about, starting the clock ticking on that final seven-year period. And I might just mention, too, one of the other big signs that we are seeing that will really reach unprecedented heights after the rapture is the rise in anti-Semitism. I know you've talked about it a lot, and so have many other Bible prophecy teachers, but I think this is one of the biggest signs of the times to show us that Satan hates Israel, God's chosen nation, in the same way that he hates Christians. And we are seeing a conditioning of the world right now, this very day, for the things that are going to happen during the tribulation as it relates to Satan's attack on Israel.
Right after the rapture, I think many people are going to, and I think intentionally, pick up a Bible or a product that we're talking about here. And I'm not talking about them to be featuring that, but say they could be picking up a book, they could be picking up a DVD, some of the things we're talking about here. And they're going to see, if they spend some time on it or do a little more research, things that are going to come. Are they going to be terribly fearful? Probably. The Bible suggests many of them are going to continue to curse God. On the other hand, many won't. This is going to be a tremendous revival, as we referenced earlier. But again, this unprecedented underlying fear is going to grip a lot of people.
Yeah, fear, of course, is not of the Lord, but Satan uses fear. When people are afraid, they are very influenceable. We could look at several microcosms that might give people a take on it, but one of the ones I talked about in my presentation is the feelings we all felt after the terrorist attacks on 9/11. You remember that night when the president spoke? I bet you everybody was riveted to their TV because we looked to him as our leader, the leader of the free world, and certainly the president of the United States, and we wanted to hear what he had to say. So people are looking for that kind of a thing. And so the people will be ripe for deception, but hopefully before the future Antichrist takes the helm and gets a public presence, people will place their faith in Christ, realizing, as we talked about earlier, that moment of regret, because the longer they wait, the more Satan's going to play on their fears and deceive them.
Exactly. And we referenced this earlier, but people are going to have a lot of regret big time. We said it earlier. They're going to say, why didn't I listen to so-and-so? And so-and-so is listening to this program right now, and they probably have given up on talking to somebody or many people. I think you and I want to encourage them not to give up.
No, don't. Now's the day of salvation. By the way, it's not a complicated thing. It's so simple a child can understand it. Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. And if you'll place your faith in him, you can have eternal life. It's not about walking an aisle, signing a card, signing a contract, joining a church, none of that. It's a simple matter of personal faith in Christ.
Thank you for that. Now, I'm just going down, it's not a different path here, but it's kind of a complementary path, I think, and that is the role that America may play in this scenario. Obviously, we have a lot of churches in America, and many of them are very fine churches. I'm not trying to suggest that there aren't some churches out there that are telling the truth, and they're going to be very, very empty when this happens. I mean that literally, they're going to be missing a lot of people. But going back to America here just for a moment or two, I've never seen America so unstable as we are speaking now. It lacks a leader. America is divided. It's got huge instability ahead for reasons that are obvious. Israel is divided as we speak. There's no single European leader as we speak. They're all vying for attention over there. There's tension in the air in America because I think Washington is behaving like Keystone Cops. So obviously, it's setting the stage. It's ripe for somebody to come on the scene who is a very mysterious and a very charismatic person. And I think that he is waiting in the wings. I think that he will be obscure because he's the little horn. He's not anybody. I don't believe he's prominent. Give me your thoughts on this.
I love your analogy there of America. I call it the bad news bears is what they're acting like. It's just complete ineptitude. And the world is ripe for a statesman, for a leader. And it's just nothing but circus clowns and circus freaks over there. But yeah, I've talked a lot in my books about what the Luciferians call the America problem. See, God has used America in a mighty way for 250 years or so to impact the world and spread the gospel and stand in the way of the Luciferian agenda of a one world system. So they've got to get America out of the way in order to cross the finish line. And so they've been systematically attacking America economically, morally, in the media, in the schools, you name it. And we see the fruit of that right now. When we've turned our back on God, we see things falling apart at the seams. Yeah. But it's going to be very interesting to see what happens over the next few months with the election and all the chaos. But we are, I think you said it very well, ripe for someone to come forward who transcends all that and rises above all that. And people begin to look to that person and say, it's about time we had someone with a little common sense. And it's not going to end the way people think it will.
I'm going to have Mark Hitchcock weigh in for one more clip here, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
people are wondering, what is the future of America? Now, we've talked about this before, but let me just kind of remind you of what my view is. I don't think America is mentioned directly in the Bible. Clearly, you don't have the words America or United States mentioned anywhere in Scripture. Others will say, I think maybe America is found in some indirect way or kind of some symbolic passage. Some will find America as Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18. Some have thought that America is that unnamed nation in Isaiah 18. Some believe that America is the 10 lost tribes of Israel. I just received a note. I get a lot of emails with people sending me about different views they have, that Daniel chapter 8 and verse 23 is a reference to America in prophecy. So there are many candidates out there in different passages in Bible prophecy people try to use to find America. Another one is in Ezekiel 38, that America is the young lions of Tarshish. Well, I don't think any of those are a reference to the United States. So my view would be that America is not mentioned either directly or indirectly in Bible prophecy. So it leaves us with the question, well, what's going to happen to America? I think that signals to me that something dramatic is going to happen to America in the future. The reason I say that is if we're the great power that we are today, you would assume that we'd be mentioned somewhere in Bible prophecy. Now, people will say, well, you know, in the Bible, though, it mainly mentions nations around Israel. Well, it mentions the kings of the east that come from far east of the Euphrates. It mentions Rosh and Magog, nations very far from the nation of Israel. So God could have easily given some kind of statement in Scripture where it would be easy to identify that America is being talked about in prophecy. So I think it means America is going to have to be reduced as a nation in the future. We won't be the great power that we are today. Then that raises the question, well, what's going to happen to America? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us, but there are a lot of plausible scenarios for what could account for the reduction of the United States. One is the debt explosion that we see in our country. We could experience an economic implosion, what some call economic Armageddon. Just think about this. Some articles just came out this week. The federal IOU, that's our federal debt, so the IOU that we have, is now at $34.5 trillion. It's $11 trillion higher than it was in March of 2020. So we've added $11 trillion, or increased by almost half, or I guess about 50%, just in 4 years. The Fed chief, Jerome Powell, said this just yesterday. He expressed concerns about a large deficit being run at a time of full employment. So he was saying that if employment was not full, you could see us having these debts, but we have low unemployment. He says the level of debt we have is not unsustainable, but the path that we're on is unsustainable. It's an unsustainable trajectory that we're on.
So J.B. Hicks and Mark Hitchcock suggests here that America could be reduced as a nation eventually. And you know, I hate to say it, but I kind of see that happening. Now, maybe we're going to get a reprieve and maybe things will turn around, and that's fine. We don't know God's timetable, but give me your thoughts on this.
I agree with Mark completely about all of the passages he talked about, and I've got friends, we all do, and colleagues that may take a different view on some of those passages. I respect that, but I just don't see America in Bible prophecy at all. I think they have a cumulative case of things that could happen to bring it all down. I don't think it's going to be any one thing. I think it's going to be economics. Frankly, it's already code blue and has been for many years. The powers that be are waiting to call time of death for a strategic opportunity that will coincide, I think, with things like civil unrest, perhaps another terrorist attack, perhaps some war, perhaps some kind of a biological weapon or disease outbreak. Any number of things could happen when we're as vulnerable as we are, teetering on the brink, that bring this country down. And as some of the quotes that you played earlier from my message at Prophecy Watchers, the elite have been saying for some time, all we need is the right crisis, and then we can usher in the New World Order. So something's going to happen. I'm not predicting, I'm not setting a date, but it seems like we're knocking on the door of some major crisis that's going to bring America to its knees and cause us to no longer be a player in things. And that's going to be the beginning of the end, and hopefully the rapture will happen quite soon after that.
Learn more, folks, at notbyworks.org, notbyworks.org. And again, the two books we carry in my store, olivetreeviews.org by J.B. Hickson, would be Spirit of the Antichrist, The Gathering Clouds of Deception, Volumes 1 and 2. Remind you that we also have an excellent book, Missed the Rapture? That's a good product to be left behind. We've got the DVD. It's about an hour. produced by Prophecy Update, After the Rapture Left Behind. J.B. Hicks and I have 20 seconds left. If you want to wrap it up, go ahead.
Thanks so much, Jan. What a great discussion. Folks need to remember the rapture is real. It's a tangible thing. We will be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds, but there will be those left behind, and they need to be contemplating that now. You don't want to wait till after the rapture to place your faith in Christ.
And that really is the purpose of this hour, folks. It really is, because I know there's somebody listening out there today who's saying to themselves, why have I put this off? I'm going to go out with a very familiar little saying I like to use. When the time was right, the sea parted, the walls fell down. The lions went hungry, the sun stood still, the waves were calm. The stone was rolled away, the clouds were parted, the Lord ascended. And when the time is right, the King of Kings, he will return. God is never early. He's never late. He's always right on time. And his plan for you is good. That's what I always try to emphasize, his plan for you. Maybe chaotic out there in this world of ours. We're privileged and challenged to be around for such a time as this, but his plan for you is good. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again next week. You are the love
song. We'll sing forever. Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. We never get tired of encouraging you to encourage one another, as it exhorts in Hebrews 10. Our times can be overwhelming, and you have a front row seat as we watch all things fall into place.